Morning USA, and welcome to Behind the Lights with me, Seb.
And me, Jono.
As always, we pay respect to traditional custodians of the land where you're coming from, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. Well, Jono, before we get on to some massive Champions League quarterfinals, NBA playoffs, and some FA Cup replay controversy, what were some of the other big sporting headlines from the week that's been?
Yeah, of course. As you said, we'll get into some more playoff details from the NBA a little bit more in detail a little bit later. But one thing that I just did want to bring as kind of my first little round out here is just the fact that all home teams won in the first game. So 8-0 in terms of home teams, which, look, maybe does show, especially in the NBA, we know how coveted that home court advantage really is. So I think it really kind of showed there in terms of the ability to be able to win at home. And it does kind of set the tone as well in terms of the possibilities and everything like that for the series, that game one. Most cases, whoever wins game one is going on to win the series and everything. So it does set a bit of a tone. And then I'm going to stick with basketball here. Then secondly would be the WNBA draft, which was huge in terms of viewership and everything like that, which, again, I think is fantastic.
Asserting Caitlin Clark.
And all credit to Caitlin Clark going to the Indiana Fever, which I think is absolutely incredible to see, that there was talks about this money that was flaunted over from Ice Cube's Big 3 League and everything like that. But I'm glad that she did go to the WNBA, along with a really, really strong draft class as well. And I think that's going to really help the WNBA. I think she's bringing a lot. And I think that if she can kind of transition her game into the pros, which will be different, don't get me wrong, it will be very, very different. But if she can do that, I think she's going to still bring in that audience as well, which is fantastic.
Which would be great for the game in America and obviously the global game as well for women's basketball.
100%. And then lastly, again, sticking with basketball, is the official USA men's basketball roster for the Olympics.
What a team.
I mean, look.
If you don't win it, Jono.
Literally. The names just continue. You have LeBron, Curry, Durant, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, Tyrese Haliburton, Devin Booker, Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Jrue Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and then, of course, oh yeah, let's chuck in Kawhi Leonard as well.
But a few of the boys making their debut at the Olympics as well.
There is some that are actually making their debut, which is kind of incredible because what it's always seemed like with USA basketball, sometimes they want to show up, sometimes they don't. But they always want to make sure that that if something goes wrong in one of those years prior, they all come to play. And that's what's happened right now. There's been a couple names that have been going around. This one's maybe going to be called officially the Avengers. Who knows? We'll see what happens. But it is an absolute star-studded roster.
It's certainly going to be incredible to watch, even if you're not a USA or American fan, but obviously a fan of the NBA. For me, John, I have to start in the FA Cup and it was semi-final weekend. Manchester City edging out Chelsea 1-0, a Bernardo Silva goal there. They certainly weren't at their best, Man City. You could see maybe that tiredness from obviously that epic Champions League game, which we'll talk about a little bit later. And Chelsea had their chances, but being able to finish those chances, which has haunted Chelsea all year, came back to bite them. And then, Jono, what a game this was between Manchester United and Coventry City. Will possibly go down as one of the great FA Cup games. United 3-0 up.
You thought it was done.
After 70 minutes. Yeah. Somehow, Coventry City got it back to 3-3, an injury time penalty, equalising. Then they were centimetres away from winning at the end of extra time. The closest of close calls to win at 4-3. And then unfortunately for Coventry fans, and I think people that probably weren't following United were probably going for Coventry, losing it on penalty shootout. But, Jono, that game, I guess, really highlights Manchester United this year in regards to when they're good, they can play some good football, but when they're bad, they really fall apart. And you could see the reactions after the game. The players knew they got away with one.
100%. And I think that the big thing as well is it just shows that no matter whatever level you play any sort of sport at, whether it's amateur, youth, pros, just keep going until that final whistle.
Credit to Coventry
because they almost, literally, as you said, they were inches away.
Inches. They thought they had won it.
From being in that final. Yeah. So close. If you're United, oh man, you got lucky there. You got so lucky there. How do you go 3-0 up and then go into where literally inches just saved you there? So,
absolutely.
Huge props to them for being able to take that and not give up after 70 minutes of play. That's a different level there.
Sets up a Manchester derby, second year in a row now for the FA Cup final. So that hopefully should be a good occasion. We'll see if United can lift their game against Pep's City. In more football news, Jono, and disappointing news for our young Australian Ollie Roos team, crashing out of the under-23 Asian Cup after drawing 0-0 in their final group match with host Qatar. It would also mean they will fail to qualify for the Olympic Games. So Jono, not good news for some of our youngest footballers here, because obviously going to the Olympics is such an experience. And to crash out of this tournament without scoring a goal, some real concerns around, I guess, that next generation coming through for the Socceroos, Jono.
Yeah, I think that that's what this, for the men's side, that's what the Olympic kind of signifies, is who's going to be some of the best of the next generation.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate. And I think the bigger thing that you kind of mentioned is the not scoring of a goal. That's, I think, a little bit of a concern when you kind of look at that, because at the end of the day, you can have great defensive masterclasses and everything like that, but especially knockout competitions, you need to be able to at least score one or two, right?
Absolutely.
End of the day. So I think that's a little bit of a disappointment. But look, it's going to be that thing that hopefully there's some diamonds in the rough, and there definitely are. But unfortunately, the squad just couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah, disappointment there. And also in the AFL world, John, I have to touch on West Coast. We know some of the struggles they've had over the last few years, but they recorded their second win of the season, a big win over Fremantle in the derby over in the West. So congratulations to West Coast and their coaching staff and their players over there for they've come through some really tough times. Yep. So hopefully it's looking like it might be starting to come a little bit brighter for them into the future. Well, as we touched on earlier in the show, Jono, some massive Champions League quarterfinals, second legs during the week. We now have our semi-final lineup. Real Madrid will take on Bayern Munich, while Paris Saint-Germain will take on Borussia Dortmund. We'll touch on probably the biggest game of maybe that quarterfinals, Real Madrid versus Manchester City. 3-3 going into the return leg in Manchester. And Jono, it was a game that contrasting styles in regards to how both teams when Madrid scored early, and then pretty much from that 12th minute when they scored, they sat back and they soaked up some pressure, Jono. Manchester 33 shots, nearly 70% of possession, but they couldn't get that second goal and eventually got knocked out on penalty shootout. How did you see the game, Jono? And you don't usually see Real Madrid penned in like that against most oppositions.
Yeah, it's funny because I think that for most part, when you're just a general spectator in terms of that game, you would just think, "Wow, Real Madrid did absolutely nothing. They shouldn't have gone through. They just complete disgrace. Look at them. They couldn't even get the ball. This that." But if you look at it from a tactical standpoint, realistically, what they did is they recognized that they got up early and they said, "Hey, we're gonna put 11 behind and we're just gonna hold strong there," and they almost did as well that whole time. Realistically, the goal that led to City was a really bad clearance that kind of fell at their feet. And then at that point, when that goal kind of happened, you felt a little bit of a, oh gosh, Real Madrid.
There was still about 15 minutes
or so. Yeah, they should have pushed more.
De Bruyne.
They should have gone. Yeah.
Should have fit. He actually missed an easier chance. Exactly, that was the chance
that
to
was.
Win it.
So you kind of then second guess that tactic and everything like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, look, maybe then it helped them a little bit that maybe City had a little bit more tired legs, right? Maybe they had that little extra fatigue because they were just going at it that whole time, right? So credit to Madrid. You know, technically on paper, this City team is absolutely incredible. But what Madrid did is they tactically went in and said, if we get up today, we're going to sit back. I think it was like 17-1 corners even. So they decided to take that tactic and it got close there. But it ended up working. And I know it went down to a shootout, but it did end up working for them. So credit for them, because what you saw there was tactics, not just free-flowing play. It was actually tactics to do that.
Well, I think Real Madrid recognized that if they did play open against City, that they would get destroyed. Yeah. And kudos to them, whether you like the way they went at it or not. And City have only themselves to blame. They had enough possession and opportunities to win it. But a couple of shout-outs in terms of Madrid. I thought Antonio Rudiger in the centre of that defence was immense.
His mentality really,
I think, went through that team. And whatever you think of Real Madrid, however they went about it, the mentality of them in Europe is something that you can't. It's untangible. You can't always put your finger on that. Sometimes they're not the best team, but somehow they find a way. And credit to them. And through to another semi-final, taking on Bayern Munich, Jono, who have had a really strange year under Thomas Tuchel, a departing coach. They've lost their German Bundesliga, knocked out of the cup by a third division team.
They're
through to a semi-final. Can Harry Kane maybe break his trophy curse?
Yeah, it's going to be such an interesting one, because as I said before this, Bayern is that team that, like, you still look at them on in terms of individuals.
And again, that European pedigree,
which
we saw against Arsenal.
They have that history. Mm. They have individuals who will be able to step up in these big moments and everything. It's just whether that they actually do that as a unit, yep. right? And they showed that they were able to at least get over Arsenal, which, yep.
And in the end, they were the better team, and Arsenal will be disappointed. They were disappointed.
I think they were the better team over both legs, right? Yep, so yep. credit to them. And yeah, Real Madrid just had to take down one of the giants. But now they're basically going to have to take down another giant too, right?
Absolutely.
Because I think now what this proven is that we can't write off Bayern. We can't write
them off. And this is the only trophy they can win. Real Madrid have pretty much won the La Liga, 11 points ahead now. But Bayern Munich, it's all in for the and, Champions League.
And I think Bayern's actually going to be quite a physical test as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
And Madrid, I don't know, has that type of physicality, especially when you look at that front three.
Yep.
You kind of look at those attacking mids and everything. I don't think they have the physicality that Bayern have. Yep. I'm like Rudiger, I'm fine with. I think he can physically outmuscle even Harry Kane. Things like he's defended him in the past and everything as well. But when you look at it from a squad, the difference... Bayern's going to be way more physical, and that could be the difference there, is that physicality potentially could lead to a win or two for them.
Yeah, it's going to be intriguing to see. On the other side, Jono, Paris Saint-Germain knocking out a Barcelona.
Yep.
Obviously, that red card really changed that game, but in the end, Jono, I thought PSG probably did deserve to go through after the second leg. Barcelona, I know they were down to 10 men, but some poor decision-making, poor defending, and especially by Cancelo. That penalty that he gave away was unnecessary. And PSG, they'll look at this as an opportunity to get through to another final, possibly Mbappe's last year against a Dortmund team, upsetting Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone.
As we said, Dortmund, giant killers, right? Yeah. They went through in that group. They had one of the hardest groups.
And they played PSG.
Yeah, and they got through, right? Yeah. So they can do it. But yeah, if you're PSG right now, this has to be one of the most golden opportunities, right?
Absolutely.
Realistically, PSG should be winning this. They should. And I don't think anybody can say that they shouldn't be going in as a heavy favorite. But that's the big thing, is they're playing a team now that pretty much has gone in almost every game as an underdog.
No expectation.
And they've been able to do it. And again, even with all that, they're still going to go into this as the heavy underdog. So it's going to be, if they can step up one more time, potentially, again, this PSG side... I think they have quality on the pitch, but it's the off the pitch stuff that still concerns me. Still concerns me because there's so much more going on off the field than there is essentially in terms of good play. The good play that they're doing doesn't outweigh what's going on off the field right now.
Yeah, it should be an intriguing game when we know the atmosphere, especially in Germany at Dortmund's home ground, that they're going to bring. So that yellow wall
good to watch.
Will obviously prove an extra man for them over in Germany. John, before we get on to the NBA playoffs, which have just got underway. Quickly touching on the FA Cup and the decision over in England to scrap replays. What have you made of this decision? There's been a lot of criticism, especially from non-Premier League teams, where those replays really prove a revenue maker for them. What have you made of this decision in regards to, I guess, the clubs that are really affected by replays, those clubs that make Europe, but they're really, six or seven clubs from the Premier League that are affected. Do you think this decision is right in regards to the way they're trying to reshape the FA Cup? And also, should they have consulted more of the clubs in regards to what they thought was best for the whole English pyramid?
Yeah, I think it's a hard one because I think in one sense, I think a little bit of the glory of the FA Cup has dropped and diminished a little bit. I don't think it's as what it once was and everything. And again, that might even come with the consistency of some of the big teams just kind of
coming out.
Well, I
think the money in Europe, the money in the Premier League, obviously.
It's just made... So, are they changing it to even help them even more and everything like that? Who knows? I mean, I'd be intrigued to see. Hopefully, they've come to then some sort of revenue
That's kind what of agreement. Be interesting. Because that hasn't really come out in regards to how they're going to maybe compensate some of these clubs that may miss out on these revenue streams.
Exactly. And hopefully, at least that's a little bit of a caveat to the situation. But again, I guess it potentially was going to be a matter of time of this, right? More and more games that keep getting added and everything.
The manager's
like
constantly talking about too much load on their players. I mean, we're talking the top managers and top players.
Yeah, you're looking at a top echelon of it. But again, yeah, they're sitting at the top, but we also have to be mindful of, they have great squad depth as well. I'm not discrediting any of that. But at the end of the day, they are still playing that many more games and everything. And rightfully so.
Because, 60 games a year.
Yeah, because they are some of the best clubs out there, right? So it's kind of a tough one. But I think it's going to go down to the finer details as to, okay, what kind of resolution did they come to with this? And hopefully they are splitting the revenue maybe a little bit more evenly. So at least there's that caveat of it.
Because it's important to think about it's not just about, it shouldn't just be about the top echelon in the Premier League. That the football pyramid in England is important.
Especially and the fans FA Cup. Of
lower league clubs, they didn't give a stuff about what's happening in Manchester City or Liverpool or Manchester
United. Look what happened in this FA Cup run, right? That's
so
the,
it still shows
the beauty of this FA Cup, right?
Absolutely.
So you still have to keep some of that, but let's figure out a way that, okay, we can go in between the two. So.
Yeah, it's going to be a story. It'll be interesting to see how it goes on. As you said, Jono, once we hear maybe about how they maybe compensate some of those lower league clubs in regards to revenue, it'll be interesting to see if they can come to some sort of resolution. Quickly, Jono, before we get to the five quick questions, the NBA playoffs are underway. What were some of your big takeaways from game one? I know it's very early, but some big results, some good performances, and as you said, all home teams winning.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, to have all home teams win, you haven't seen that since 2013, which is great to see. Look, yeah, there's definitely some big results. Unfortunately, my Suns was at one of the bad ends of one of the bigger
poor
results.
Poor showing from your Suns.
Yeah, 120 and 95 from the Timberwolves. So look, this Timberwolves team is going to be really, really good.
Yep.
And I think matchup for matchup, I think it's actually going to be quite tough for the Suns too. I wouldn't count us out, of course, right now because we didn't play good.
We can only play better.
We can only play better. We need Devin Booker to also be firing as well as Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal. But Devin Booker is, I think, that key to it.
Absolutely.
But it just showed, I think the Timberwolves showed that they are one of the top contenders as well. I think Knicks and 76ers, I think what showed we saw is it's going to be a really tough series. Joel Embiid's back.
It makes a massive difference.
Yeah, we don't know like how, you know, a 7-game series after not playing.
Yeah.
Is he going to be able to sustain it if it does go all seven? Who knows? But it's such a difference having him on that
Absolutely.
Court.
And they're a different team with him.
I'm sorry, you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, how did we just get ourselves in this situation after finishing so strong in the season?
Yep.
They've gotten probably the toughest matchup of the first round. Lakers and Nuggets, oh man, the Lakers are going to have a huge test.
It was a strong second half by those Nuggets.
Yeah, look, I think the Lakers could be competitive in this, but the Nuggets just look so strong still, and you can't really fault them.
Yep.
And then look, I think the Pelicans and the Thunder, I think it's going to be a good series in terms of just young
and
talent.
And the Pelicans good without Zion
without
today.
That's what kind of gave me a little bit of hope for them in that sense. But I think that what it shows is, these two squads, I think this is the start of something moving forward. Yeah, very, very young squads.
Two young,
both
exciting squads.
I think the Thunder are going to take this series, right? I think the Pelicans will maybe win one, two games most.
Yeah.
Thunder are going to take this series. But I really like what this shows for the future of the NBA right now, because the future is bright.
No, it's exciting.
Between these two teams, they have a lot of young talent there.
Yeah.
And it's really being showcased. And it was showcased in this first game.
Absolutely.
Without a Zion Williamson as well.
Absolutely.
But yeah, overall, really happy with the standard of play so far. It'll be interesting as well to see if some of these bigger seeds, like a Boston or something like that as well, will just...
Without a big win, a good win over the Heat.
Yeah.
And also mentioned the Bucks, a good win over Indiana. No Giannis.
Yeah.
And obviously Damian Lillard stepping up in game one. So that's a good positive start for them, considering how they ended the season as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then also Mavericks Clippers. A lot of actually pundits have picked actually the Mavericks, and the Clippers came out even with a really strong Kyrie and Luka. But yeah, no Kawhi Leonard in that first game, and they still were able to get through. So Clippers team as well is going to be a very, very tough opponent. So
yeah, I can see a lot of these series going six or seven games. I think there's not a huge... a lot between some of these teams. And as you said, each home team getting a win. So it'll be interesting to see when they do obviously reverse the fixtures and see how the other, see if that makes any difference in regards to some of the results.
Yeah, and unfortunately, look, if you're a Heat fan, I think without Jimmy Butler, this is probably that only series out of all of them that I see Boston just out and out winning, going straight through.
Yeah.
If Jimmy Butler was there, I'd make it a little bit closer. But out of all the series, I think that's going to be the most one-sided. The rest of them, I can see every single team at least winning a minimum of two games through.
Yep. No, it's going to certainly be intriguing to watch, and it's always great once the NBA playoffs roll around. Well, as always, John, we'll end with five quick questions. I think you've got me this week.
You ready?
Let's go, mate.
All right, we'll start with basketball here. If Team USA, after the roster they assembled, does not win gold, is that an absolute failure to USA basketball?
Yes. There's no getting away from it. And possibly LeBron's last Olympics,
you'd probably say.
Some of those players in that team, they're probably looking at their last time they'll represent the USA at the Olympics. So it is going
to
be a big moment. And with that roster,
they have to win.
I know there's going to be some other strong national teams, and they'll be tested.
But they
have to win with that
they
roster. They've gone all in.
Yeah. Okay, we'll switch over to football. I'm going to stick with football for the last couple here. Firstly, we saw in La Liga, huge El Clasico.
Yep.
We saw a controversial moment in terms of goal line technology not being
very
used.
Controversial.
Should La Liga bring in goal line technology?
Yeah, I don't know why they don't have it.
Yeah.
Because the camera angle didn't show that certain angle that they needed.
Yeah.
But for some reason, they don't have it. All the other top leagues have got it.
I didn't even realize that they didn't have it.
And it was very close. Yeah. And it may not have made a difference. Yeah. I don't think Barcelona still made some errors and Real Madrid capitalized. But I'm not sure why they don't have it. So it's going to be interesting to see if they do bring it in.
Sticking with El Clasico, Real Madrid, of course, winning today. I think they really showed a lot as well. Do you think that, especially with the young team that Real Madrid have and potential of Mbappe coming in as well, that this is the start of Madrid domination over Barcelona?
It looks like it at the moment, just in terms of also their mentality. And I don't think Barcelona lost the La Liga with this game. This year. And what's going to be interesting with Barcelona is who they bring in regards to Xavi still looks like he's going.
Yeah.
Who's going to manage that team? They've still got their financial issues. There's players in there that I don't think, like, such as Yao Felix and these sort of players, are they really the players you're going to build your squad around? They've got defensive issues. Saw the out Cancelo today. Somebody's just defending, especially with that second goal. No awareness in regards to the box. So some issues there. It does look like at the moment could be some Real Madrid dominance for the short term at least.
Especially if Mbappe's coming in as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. It's only going to strengthen their squad.
Sticking with an ex-Barcelona player, Lionel Messi.
Yep.
He's 10 goals away from being Inter Miami's all-time leading scorer.
Unbelievable already.
Do you think he's going to do it?
You'd have to say yes, even with him not playing every single game over in the MLS and whatnot.
I love seeing the stat
line. Only 10 goals away.
Maybe like 20 or so games. Higuain, technically, is a leading goal scorer, but played 70-something games. I think Messi can break in the next line.
I'm still not convinced by Inter Miami, though. I think the Messi magic has just started to wear off a little bit. And the MLS, there's been a little bit of concern around the way that Inter Miami has been built, because I think there's some younger and better teams in the MLS to potentially win it.
Yeah. And then lastly, we'll end it on something that's close to your heart. Who's going to finish higher in the Premier League? Is it going to be Chelsea or Man United?
That's a tough one.
Very close right now.
I'm going to say us, just because we've got a slightly easier running out. Yeah, so United. Only Chelsea got to play Arsenal. They got to play Tottenham.
Yeah.
So they're playing.
They're looking good. They're looking good.
Better. They're looking better. But how can you count any of these teams? They've been so inconsistent this year. So I'm going to say just us, but with no confidence.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
It'll be an interesting end to the season. There's a lot to play for. Well, that brings us to another episode of Behind the Lights with me, Seth.
And me, Jono.
As always, thank you for your support and good night.